There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Phone number and the text line 343. They're both same numbers. 343-0106. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that microphone icon there on the front page to leave us a talk back message. As we get started this hour, let's talk about what is happening now. As we just said it there at the end of Jeff's show. I'm watching some, it's amazing technology. I'm watching video from Doha at Qatar and seeing the back and forth between incoming Iranian munitions, missiles, ballistic missiles, and interceptors being launched from Qatar. Take them out similar to what you've seen like over the skies of Israel before. That's going on right now. Also mentioned at the end of Jeff's show that we have not heard anything confirmed that there's actual incoming, but there are sirens now being reported in Bahrain and Kuwait. Airspace over UAE has been closed, and sirens and air defense reported at Al Asad Air Base in western Iraq. We know we've lost members of our military there in the last couple years, and it sounds like there's incoming there. That's what we're hearing as we get started. This is, of course, off of this weekend. I was going to play the clip of President Trump from Saturday night. Let's play this to get it started. You've heard this, but on the backdrop of what's happening right now, let's play this.
Thank you very much. A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks would be far greater and a lot easier. For 40 years, Iran has been saying death to America, death to Israel. They have been killing our people, blowing off their arms, blowing off their legs with roadside bombs. That was their specialty. We lost over 1,000 people, and hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and around the world have died as a direct result of their hate. In particular, so many were killed by their general, Qasem Soleimani. I decided a long time ago that I would not let this happen. It will not continue. I want to thank and congratulate Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu.
Okay, that was a little bit of what came out from the president on Saturday night. The important part in, I think, there, well, it's all important, but for him to say, paraphrasing now, that any response from Iran will be dealt with in a severe manner, and I'm truly paraphrasing, I'm not quoting. To hear that and to think about where we sit right now, joining us, Congressman Jerry Carl, our response, because we're looking at active, I mean, this has happened before, but this is an active missile assault. Not just in Qatar, but at the U.S. airbase in Qatar.
Well, we knew he would make some type of response. We
have encouraged him to make it a soft response.
Mm-hmm.
So not hitting the airbase may be that soft response, and he can keep favor with his followers.
You think it is? I mean, if they have, you know, we said this before, when they first launched back at Israel with the Iron Dome, that they got to have the response out of Iran, but knowing that the Iron Dome took out so many of the missiles. I wonder if that's going to be true here, or if we end up, I mean, there's incoming coming on American troops right now. We could have casualties.
I get it. But until one hits the ground, I think it's a soft way of responding. And we all expected that. I think the best thing Trump can do at this point, especially if none make a direct hit of any type, sit and wait. Let's be the terrorists for a change.
Meaning what?
Well, we'll terrorize them. They know it's coming. They know a response is coming. They'll just have to sit in their bunkers and hide and do nothing. It just terrorized them for a change. I mean, you and I had this conversation before we got on. Mm-hmm. How many lives have we actually saved?
Yeah,
by taking this nut job's uranium and the capabilities of atomic bomb out of the way.
Yeah, I don't know.
My entire life, we've fought this guy.
Well, listen, and you know, I was going to, because of the severity of the situation, I did not play it, but I was going to play. You know, I'm old enough to have heard the Bomb Iran. That was a parody of Barbara Ann when it first came out in 1980, you know, and I'm sitting here in 2025, was thinking about it again. At the same time, I am very slow to move, Congressman, on further engagement in wars in the Middle East for the United States.
I totally agree. I'm exhausted. I am exhausted.
The people are exhausted. The blood that has been spilled, you know what I'm talking about. And it's... So I worry about that. I am slow to move here on this. Personally, I'm not the commander in chief, so I don't have a say in it. But
I think what he did with the strike Saturday had to be done. It should have been done months ago. That I agree with. No boots on the ground. I mean, just keep dropping stuff. I've said it 1,000 times. When we run out of bombs, start dropping refrigerators, washing machines, and dryers. I mean, drop whatever we can drop on top of them, but no boots on the ground. I've sent one son to war. I don't want to send another.
Yeah, and I don't want to send, you know, your son, my teenagers now, or my friends who, you know, back into harm's way. It is, you know, attacking that airbase, and you may be right. It may be a soft attack. They may be attacking a place that the missiles aren't going to do the damage, but, you know, they've done damage at the Al Asad airbase before. And I don't know, right now we're looking at what's happening in Doha, Qatar, but I don't know. Right now they're saying in the garrison in Syria, you got Al Asad in Iraq, you have the Al Tanif, I think, garrison in Syria still there. We have troops in Kuwait still there. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I guarantee you we're ready.
I bet you they were. Yeah,
but you asked, you know, what should the response be? I think we should let them sweat a little bit. Let's terrorize them a little bit. I mean, the Israelis are just wearing them out. They truly are.
I think there's a tell there too. You know, and I was going to come on today and spend the beginning of the show talking about, even though it's I'm not a big saber rattler for this, I'm still always impressed with U.S. Might and the ability of the B-2. You know, bombers, $2 billion each, but the B-2s go do what they did. And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that we had not just the B-2 stealth bombers that they usually can't be seen on radar, but you had a bunch of other American aircraft going in ahead of time and how they didn't have one missile, air defense missile shot at them. Tells me the Israelis had done a real good job. I mean, Israelis said not just they had superiority. As of last week, they controlled the airspace over Iran. So that was telling.
Anywhere we flew with Congress, we had to get airspace qualified ahead of time. And
what does that mean? So how's that work?
That means we let them know we're coming quietly. They let them know we're coming, and they'll be watching for us, even if it's friendly airspace.
Mm-hmm.
So I refuse to believe that mission was pulled off by Americans alone. I firmly believe.
I agree. Yeah, but I'm saying
several
the fact
countries that looked the other way as.
Oh yeah, I think we flew right over Saudi.
Yeah, not just B-2, but I mean B-2 has.
Well,
about
there's a whole bunch of aircraft.
Six or eight aircraft that travel with each one,
which do have a radar signature. That's what I'm saying. And the fact that there were no munitions, at least the way I understand this, from over the weekend, there were no of the air defenses out of Iran launch. I mean, it's not like they evaded the air defenses; they didn't get them, which tells me that Israel must have cut a path through Iran with air defense, knocking out air defense. I think it was 115 different air defense places.
Also, our Secretary of State and the President probably did a lot of ground laying with other countries, with friendly countries, letting them know that, you know, mm-hmm. we were going to do this, and when it did happen, just look the other way.
That's almost like, well, Washington has become very, very leaky. And we talk back, you know, the amazement of the D-Day invasion, that didn't leak. This isn't at that level. But the fact that this did not leak was a good thing.
Oh, everything leaks in Washington. That goes
without
a doubt.
But this one did not.
Because they didn't tell Congress.
Yeah.
If they had told Congress, it would have. There's some members of Congress that I'm sure they did share it with.
They said they called Hakeem. They said they called Hakeem Jeffries on the Democrat side, and he didn't pick up.
That sounds about right. I mean, just
once it was up in the you know, then they let the Democrats, some high ranking Democrats, know. And Hakeem Jeffries doesn't pick up his phone when it's White House.
That sounds about right.
So your thought right now is just to sit and wait.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to see what this response is. I mean, is it truly a soft response? Is it just so he can keep face with his people? I stand firmly in behind the Israelis. Just keep pounding them. At some point, place, and time, the folks, we're not doing this because of the folks in Iran,
right?
You know, that's what everyone has to keep in mind.
Well, so, yeah, we're not, but by, you know, even though President Trump said get out of Tehran, did these things, there will be. I mean, there's going to be Iranians that are killed that aren't the IRGC, that aren't the...
Every bomb that's counted. Yeah. I mean, we have no idea who may have passed away the bombings this weekend. Yeah. I was telling my wife, you know, this poor some guy was probably pushing a mop when that thing went off, you know, cleaning up something. Yeah. So, there's always casualties in any event like this. But for us to be very, very calculating on what we do next, keeping those rats hidden in a hole... Because they expect us to come would be perfect for the Israelis, because the Israelis can take them out on the ground.
You know, from your time and what you can tell us, I know you can't tell us everything, but the people in the Persia, the people in Iran that don't want this theocracy, that don't want the mullahs, we saw it during the Green Revolution when it was President Obama. Mm-hmm. They were assembled in the streets. You're talking about having some stones to get out there and protest in the streets against the government of Iran. Wonder how many of them are left and how organized? Because in this discussion last week on it, what I would hope is that if the mullahs are on their heels enough, that those people might rise up in Iran, the people you're talking about that aren't part of the government, and say, okay, enough with this, and topple them. But I'd rather them do it than anybody else do it.
I think it may be one of the other countries in the Persian Gulf that goes in there and straightens him out. I mean, if he drops a bomb on the Saudis and kills a Saudi, I guarantee the Saudis have got plenty of firepower. We've made sure of that through the years.
Sure. This is now not a proxy, because we remember, you know, there was missile attacks that came out of Yemen that went into Saudi, knocked out a lot of their oil fields and all that at one point. But then at least the Iranians say it's not us. It's the Houthis. Yeah. But in this case, these missiles we're talking about right now are being launched out of Iran.
Well, anything that happens, especially over the next 12 months, is going to be linked directly to them, and they'll have to take credit for it.
Okay, we're coming right back. I've got a lot of texts coming in here at 343-0106. We'll get into your texts. But guest this hour, Congressman Jerry Carl, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106 for a call or a text. Our guest, Congressman Jerry Carl, in the studio. This discussion is... nothing new. As you said, you thought about it over history. I was pointing out that before it got where it is right now, as we came on the air, I was thinking about playing the Bomb Iran song again. That's, if y'all can sing it, it's Barbaran. But, and I remember being a kid and hearing that, and here it is in 2025 coming back up. So this has been, this isn't new. This is decades long. This is
starting
a chronic,
with Jimmy Carter's.
Yes.
During Jimmy Carter's administration, when it really reached out and touched us.
But there were, you know, one of the things on the So we said, well, we don't like them. They got, you know, this issue. But then it seemed like the point made was they are weaponizing uranium, right, to make nuclear weapons. And I've said this on the air a couple of times. It was always like they just were about to do it. Right? I mean, over 10 or 15 years, I've been hearing they just were about to do it. We did the Stuxnet virus, which I thought was genius to shut down the centrifuge. I like that. A lot of their, physics guys working in that had car wrecks and heart attacks, and I don't know, it's really unhealthy to do that job. But we talked, and I don't know how much she slowed it down, but just to hear, like, all those years of saying they're just about on the level, and you can tell me what you can tell me. You know, I know some things are, but now... Now's the time. So did we find some piece of information we didn't already have? Did we have somebody new in the White House who would act on it? Is it because of what Israel had already done? Your feelings on that?
I think we knew that they had, let's say they were very close to having it developed. And then they started the conversation with using it on Israel. And that's what kicked us over, to be quite honest.
That makes sense.
We've heard the same rhetoric out of them. But the fact that they have designated using it on Israel is where it the rubber met the road.
Okay, that makes sense. We really don't have a choice
at that point.
But you do understand what I'm saying. Like, sure. As somebody didn't, you know, wasn't a congressman, didn't have the information. I've just forever heard, oh, they're just about to weaponize it. They're just about to weaponize it. They're just about to weaponize it. So,
well, the war machine's always pushing the next war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's it? Wilson. Wilson's war.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Wilson. Afghanistan. Yeah, yes,
he created his own war, you know, just for financial purposes. But this one, they brought it on themselves. And I tell you, the President Trump, you're talking about a titanium backbone and some serious sets of kahunas.
Mm-hmm.
This man is it. He's the real deal.
Yeah, I wonder this. So one of the texters here sent in, unnamed texter, said, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there an inspection performed on Iran's nuclear program?
Nope.
Which, you know, and you can say IAEA inspections. I mean, we've gone through this stuff before. They're like, you can look here, but not over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I'm not to texter, whoever you are, I'm not one that's saber rattling here, but that's just true. IAEA doesn't get a chance to look at everything, but then went on to say, and didn't Tulsi Gabbard say there wasn't any new or functioning refineries in Iran? She did say that, and this person may be doing that because knows I'm a lot of times I line up with Tulsi Gabbard on being slow to want to act militarily. I don't know. Trump said she was wrong. They moved on. I don't know.
He said whoever said it was wrong.
Yeah.
It was directly linked to her, and I'm sure they had a conversation after that, but she said that 60 days ago?
Yeah, March or something like that.
It's not something that's just come out.
This texter says, I was never a Trump fan, but this weekend I'm very proud of him. I was in the military and we knew what we signed up for. Freedom isn't free.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, I watched CNN yesterday deliberately to see what their responses
were. Of course,
see
the other side.
I was shocked. I mean, there was a lot of positive responses.
That's what worries me, Congressman. That's what...
Worries you?
Yeah, they attack Trump for everything, and then he does this thing, and now all of a sudden they like him. I don't know. It's a show of patriotism. I think they're the party of war hawks now.
I've been saying it for years. The one thing that brings us together as Americans, and we drop being Republicans, Democrats, is when someone comes against us, and we drop it, and we become Americans. We're no longer labeled by the politics that we choose, we're one. And that's what I saw yesterday on CNN.
I 100% agree with that 9/12 moment when we were attacked like that.
Yeah.
But this has been a little more removed, the threat from Iran. You know, when the dirtbags flew the planes into, you know, the buildings and the Pentagon, I mean, different thing. We were galvanized. And this, I just always worry about that part of Washington, John Bolton, you know, who wants us to get in every war out there when he's happy about something. He agrees. Yeah, and
I agree with you on John Bolton. I got some real questions about
he wants to be in every war.
Oh, yeah.
He had never seen a war he doesn't think we need to be in, you know. And
I think we got a couple of senators falling in the same category.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. One from the South, coastal Atlantic South. As Greg says, what about those already in the United States who can do a 9/11-esque thing? Well, and Congressman and I talked about before we went on the air, I said, hey, I had a whole list before this started unfolding as we came on air, and I was going to talk about these. What would be the response options for Iran? And first one, I said, I was going to ask you, do you think it could be a conventional response on our troops in Syria, Iraq, Bahrain, and Qatar? That was on by the way, this was saved, y'all, 45 minutes ago in my computer. So that was my first question. So we've answered that one. Second was sleeper cells and terrorism. Remember, Iranians put hits out on Americans. They put hits out on other countries' officials inside the United States. Hell, they had FBI had an all-points bulletin for looking for an Iranian assassin that was recruiting to go after Pompeo and Trump and others after the Soleimani killing. There's a good chance they could have
assets
in this country.
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the internet, and some of it, I really question, but there's got to be sleeper cells, and I'm sure we're watching those. Those don't bother me near as bad as the lone wolves. I mean, the lone wolves are the ones that bother me, that just want to go out. They want to die in a blaze of glory and get their 72 virgins or whatever it is that they're promised.
Coming right back. More with Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Our guest in studio, Congressman Jerry Carl, reacting, of course, to what happened Saturday overnight with wherever you are on the attack against Iran. Pretty amazing showing for U.S. military might and keeping people's mouths shut on that mission, getting that done. It was pretty epic mission there. And talking about what's happening right now.
So a little side note.
Yeah.
Just before they bombed them, I was on the phone with the White House just carrying on normal business.
Really?
That's the truth. I mean, that's normal business.
That's pretty good operational security there.
Yeah. They were
sent. I like that we sent once again, this is just, I can disagree with things we do, but I'm still an American, number one. The fact that we sent decoy B-2s one way.
I love that.
That's
Donald Trump. I'm sorry.
And, them taking off with not a bunch of fuel because they had so much weight and bombs.
Made a big deal of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell, if I get a bunch of you boys in the truck with me and we got coolers loaded down, I'm going to say, we're going to have to start off this journey with a quarter tank because we're too heavy to take off here. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And first up, Ed is in Sims. Thanks for coming on, Ed.
Hey, how are you?
Good. It says here that... go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I am so glad 40 years ago I was on the Nimitz off the coast of Iran when we should have made the whole region a parking lot, had the perfect opportunity. But Carter would not do it, and he let those hostages languish until when Reagan came in, obviously... They let him go because they knew Reagan was going to do something. So I am really, really happy about what's going on right now. That should have happened all those years ago when we would have been less Ayatollahs and less issues. Now, we'd have had other issues, certainly. That's the nature of the beast in history. But there it is. And we, so finally we do something. I think in a very positive manner.
First of all, thank you for your service, Ed. Thank you for your service and being your perspective from being back then and being on the Nimitz wow.
That's a story.
Yeah, that's a story right there, Ed. But looking at it now, do you think Iran has a bigger arsenal to fight back than they would have back then?
Yes, much more so now because we gave them all the opportunities to develop and do all those things. When back then, quote unquote, if we'd have done what we ought to have, we'd have got our hostages out. We would have, as Barney would say, nipped it in the bud. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, that evil is a continuum, but so is good. Hmm. And from my perspective, today, what we should have done then, at least we've done now. And I think that makes a huge difference, because Iran, and they said if they got it, if they got a weapon, they would, the first thing they do is do Israel, yep, and destroy it. Now, see, that is not in my wheelhouse. I love them folks. Okay, so there it is.
Ed, thank you, Ed, for your service.
Yeah, we appreciate your call. Thank you. Wow, being on the Nimitz back then.
Gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. On the flip side, and from what Ed said, then Michael on the text line said, does the congressman agree with the idea that Christians have to defend Israel, or does he believe we're not obligated to Israel like the 2,000-plus years of Christianity has taught, as well as those who aren't part of the evangelical religion that formulated that idea over the last 100 years?
I do believe we have an obligation to defend Israel. No doubt. I won't back up on that one. My grandmother taught me that. You do not fool with the Jews.
Yeah, but they got
God on their side.
Okay.
So.
And I've heard that too. But I did this like mental exercise with Dalton in the hallway today. I said, to defend the Jews, not Israel. Meaning, you know, when we start talking about the shape of Israel, I mean, did God determine whether the West Bank should be? I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's for the Jews, not the Israeli. You know, that's a question there, I think, that is worth discussing too. That when we start getting into land squabbles of this expansion of Israel versus, you know, this West, okay, we're going to give this back to the Palestinians. I don't know that that was ever delineated. And that seems to drive, yes, there's a base thing of Iran wanting to kill all the Jews, the Zionists, blah, 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 blah. But then a lot of this gets wrapped up in you move the border 40 miles or moved it back, you know?
Well, if you move it 40 miles, they're going to want it 40 miles further the next time. But, you know, I've been over to Israel several times, and they live in such a fear that it's normal to them. But it's a very uncomfortable situation over there in my little small world, because you never know what's coming. Every time I've been over there, there's either been missiles shot over our head, or there's been jet fighters going over our head to hit something out there. So Israel fights for their existence every day. They're very smart people. Their markets over there and their development, mm-hmm, IQ is off the chart, but they invest in their country.
Well, there's something to be said for having the clear and present danger of an enemy to help you.
Yeah, it keeps you focused. It truly does. But, you know, I've always been a state of Alabama was the first to recognize Israel as being a country. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. They were the first ones to recognize them. So we have a lot of history. Alabama has a lot of history with not just the Jewish people, but the country of Israel.
B-Dark on the text line says, Sean, it looks like the next move should be total occupation.
I disagree with that. I'm sorry. I no boots on the ground. Let Israel do what
Israel
does.
Imagine trying to
best.
Occupy Iran.
And Israel is just they have on the ground. There's no doubt they've got forces on the ground, but they're strategically taking out things they need to take out.
This text from a veteran here, Fire Dog, a nuanced, very very nuanced text said, "Well, the Weird Beards have just signed their own death warrants. Time to take out the trash." So we'll put you down as undecided, Fire Dog.
My guess, he was a Marine.
He was Army. He got some stories to tell. He's a heck of a patriot. But how far do you, because you said something earlier, and this is, you know, there are plenty of people there in Iran that aren't the government.
Right.
That aren't the Ayatollah.
Right.
That aren't the, you know. And they showed up. I keep coming back to this. I think I've been the only one hollering about this, but the Green Revolution that happened, they showed that there were a bunch of them that wanted something different. I mean, hell, look at the country before the takeover. It, you know, Iran was as Western and cosmopolitan.
Gosh, the ladies there with the dark hair and olive skin. I mean, just beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And this was going on. And then, so there's some people, and my problem is not being a academic on Iran today. I can't tell you. Is it 15% of the people? Is it 30? Is it 40? You know,
well,
there's people who will put their heads up.
It's got to be their choice, though. We can't take out another, like Gaddafi.
No.
You know, we really pushed and promoted Gaddafi to be taken out. That's not our responsibility to go over there and kill leaders.
We're doing it. The Israelis are doing it. They have the stories are.
I'm speaking for America. I'm not speaking for the Israelis. Israelis. They've got a different war they're fighting than we're fighting.
It's interesting. I was reading some stories here, and I'll see if I can pull this up. But not only is Khomeini named his possible successors, like their whole military rank, even with the living generals that are there, they have named the they've named their like two deep successors.
Yeah, so like they have in 7 days they took out three of them in a row.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. They've got forces on the ground there. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know how that story got out, but I think maybe the Times had it that they had. Yeah, Khomeini has named replacements. He's reshuffled the military command, naming successors to people that are still alive in the military hierarchy. So they've which is actually, I guess, militarily smart, because if this person's knocked out, we know who steps up next. Right. We don't have a period of time where you don't. But that's a tell.
Well, who's got the list? Does Israel have the list? That'll be the next six they take out. I mean, it's not their first rodeo. They're fighting for their lives, their very existence.
Yeah, and the intel. So Maximus said on the text line, said send Mossad to extinguish Khomeini's story. But the Israelis have, I was talking about last week, they continue to win all awards for espionage. The CIA should go. Mm-hmm. There should be people at Langley, bosses going, hey, dummies, can we do something like, you know, I mean, how good they are. Their assets inside Iran must be, I don't know what the payroll's like. I don't know how the decades it took to develop. Remember, they killed a Hamas leader that was staying in Tehran in a safe house and blew him up. A bomb that must have been placed weeks beforehand. The Israeli assets in Iran, I don't know, we'll never get to know how many, but it seems like it's just the whole, they've got people, they hit something and then they get a response back on what they hit and how they did. I mean, we're talking about 500 people, 1,000, I don't know, but it's amazing.
I would imagine they have plenty of resources on the ground to take out. And they may have some more pagers out there floating around.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, said, too, they're worried about the mullahs are worried about using their cell phones right now being tracked and all that.
They should be. And they should be worried about grouping up and getting together. So, I mean, they're using carrier pigeons or sign language now from building to building because Israelis have just picked them apart. And that's what I'm saying. If this is a soft response, what we're seeing at this moment, I would terrorize them. I would. I'd make them go in a bunker and live there and smell their filth for about 3 or 4 weeks, wondering when we're going to retaliate. And then the Israelis, at the meantime, are slipping up on them doing what they need to do.
We can't
just automatically start blowing things up. I want to give them a little bit of their own medicine.
Pentagon saying now not aware of any U.S. casualties, and that brings us back to that soft response. It's interesting. I didn't think about it right when I saw the videos on Twitter, but this is similar to some of the early attacks from Iran, when Israel would hit them and then they would fire missiles, but they were kind of easier pickings for the Iron Dome. So Iran got their, you know, back home. They could say, yeah, we struck back, but they didn't do much. Actually, I mentioned Fire Dog, and he is line one. Fire Dog's on line one. Hey, Fire Dog.
Hey there. Did you guys say I was in the Army?
I did. I screwed up. No, you're in the Air Force. I'm sorry.
I was in the Air Force.
Yes.
I can speak without you grunting and groaning the entire time.
I'm glad I didn't mess up. I said you were in the Marine Corps.
Right. What I like to do with all the folks.
I don't need crayons.
You're not a crayon eater. I understand.
No, I was not.
Well, thank you for your service.
What I mentioned this morning with the morning crew was, you know, I was in Iraq and I was injured with an IED. There was about a dozen other guys who got it far, far worse than I did. And they traced that IED back to Marine manufacturer. How many people do they have to injure before we say enough is enough? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or one? If it's one, that's it. You're done. You come after us. There has to be a covenant there that if you're going to put us in the harm's way, you're going to let a country hurt you. That's it for you. Now, the problem that we had with striking Iran was that they would strike back to Israel. You had Hamas and you had Hezbollah that were going to fire 300 rockets a day. 200 missiles were going to come in from Iran, from Tehran. There was no way Israel could possibly defend against that much. Hamas is like five guys deciding who's playing, who's it. Yeah, who's the number one? And they're going, no, no, not me. Because, you know, they're going to be dead 2 days later. Hezbollah has been decapitated literally and figuratively at this point. They don't want to get involved because they saw what happened to Hamas, and I don't think they wanted any part of that. Russia is busy in Ukraine, so the possibility of them coming in to help Tehran was always there. Well, that's really not there as much as it possibly could be. I mean,
yeah, I wonder what that would look like, right? Because you point that out. There was all of that discussion about this agreement or mutual aid, whatever it was, between Russia and Iran. But what's Russia going to do now? I mean, are they going to transfer some nuclear weapons to Iran? Say, here you go, take some of ours.
I can't see it with their hands full.
That's them saber rattling. To do that would just invite NATO to just and Trump to just really, I mean, imagine how pissed off Trump would be if they decided to transfer nuclear weapons to Iran. I mean,
So what do you do? What do you do? I mean,
right now is the time to go after them because their proxies are non-existent at this point or unable to help. Okay, Russia is not able to help, and Russia has used Iran as a piggy bank for a lot of years. Yep. You know, they needed some money. They said, here's like some 10-year-old, you know, Soviet-era equipment you guys want to buy from us so that you could fend against an attack from Israel. And Iran said, yay, we want to buy that from you. Well, that's not there. In fact, Iran is now selling Russia drones.
Yeah, the Shahids, right? those are coming from Iran, yeah.
So at this point, you can totally degrade Russia. They've launched missiles again. You know, we took out we gave them 60 days. And in fact, during that 60 days, we said, we'd give up your nuclear program. They told us, and I haven't seen this played up in the news as much, that they were going to, in fact, increase their ability to enrich uranium and gave us the finger. Well, at that point, I mean, I'm sorry. There's no civilian use for this. You want to run a nuclear reactor to have power for your country? Good for you. Enriching uranium? You don't enrich uranium to run a nuclear power plant. There's zero need for that. It's only to build a weapon. Mm-hmm. So as I was saying with Jeff Poore earlier, I don't care if it was Trump's got intelligence that they're going to do it 5 years from now. Who cares? They're enriching uranium to build a weapon. I don't care if they said it was 10 years from now. There's no reason to let them have it. And now is the time to strike. And to be honest with you, we talk about all the moving pieces that needed to be involved with that. With the total degradation of their Air Force and their anti-air capabilities, I mean, Trump could have said, you know, hey, at 2:15 p.m., we're going to bomb you. And you know what they could have done about it? Nothing.
There you go. So
there's nothing left.
So, and before you're up against the break, but what happens next? I mean, where do we stop? I mean, there's people say, oh, well, you know, somebody had texted earlier, I think BDARCO occupation. I don't know how you do that. I want no part of that. But from your perspective, what do you do next?
But at this point, you know, there's a nice GBU-57. There's a few B-52s around. We know where Khomeini is right now. Mm-hmm. Look, you launched against U.S. troops. You put them in harm's way. It's just time for you to go.
You
wanted to hasten yourself on to the next life? We'll help.
They'll put you down as undecided. Fire Dog, appreciate your call, man. Thank you. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:55 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Just a couple more minutes here with Congressman Jerry Carl. Of course, we were already set up to talk about what happened Saturday, Sunday. Now we've been, as we came on air, the launches against U.S. Air Base there at Qatar. And it, coming from the Pentagon right now, says there were no confirmed, no confirmed U.S. casualties. Also, a defense official confirming that Al-Udeid Air Base was attacked by short and medium-range missiles. No reported casualties. U.S. officials said the attack ended 30 minutes ago. They couldn't confirm reports of attacks on the other bases like Iraq that we'd heard of, Iraq and Syria. Because we have lots of people still in theater.
Oh, sure we do.
Lots.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot.
And Navy-wise, I don't know if they were supposed to put, I guess they were. You know, they put up a graphic the other day of the fleet, which I was like, do we need to really do that? Hayseed butt sitting in mobiles looking at the fleet.
Well, what you don't see is the dangerous part of the Navy. And that submarine pops up out of nowhere.
They launch those tomahawks out of the subs.
I've been on those subs. I've been out. I've took a ride. And I actually shot a Trident missile.
I
shot two of them. Yeah, I was on the submarine when we shot them.
Is it got just a button says fire?
It looks like an old video game. It's a plastic pull trigger. And
you're kidding me.
I am not kidding. And the one broke, and they spent like $60,000 to replace this plastic trigger.
I may or may not have some triggers out at my house. I could give them a Timony or something like that.
You can't make a story like that up.
A plastic trigger.
Yeah, it looked like an old video game, so it looked like. And that's what fires a Trident. It was in the 80s, if you think about it.
Yeah, but the stuff we spend money on in this country, we can't. Let's do an upgrade to the triggers. I mean, that seems like it's budget-minded.
Most of our atomic weapons are still on floppy disk. Yeah. Breathe now. Yeah.
I have not.
It's still on floppy disk.
All the other crap we've spent money on.
Well, we can't just do away with those missiles. We can't just
I don't want to do away with the missiles, but you can get a kid out there in Mobile or Baldwin County to write you a program that talks to this old program and makes it the new. We deal with that stuff a lot in our business. Like they can do something that bridges this old technology that you don't want to get off of, but it interfaces with the new one.
There's companies that do nothing but write software that bridges things together, like the Army and the Navy talking during wartime. They don't talk to one another. None of their equipment on the same frequency. They don't communicate. So there's companies that actually write the software so they can communicate when they need to. I mean, I can get into that. We've got some antiquated stuff, but we got some cool new stuff, too.
The cool new stuff is one thing, but the plastic triggers.
It is a plastic trigger. And it's got a long, like an old phone cord that plugged into the bank. And I stood down there hugging the missile silo when it filled up. I mean, you're looking at it when it fills up with seawater. It's launched with seawater. It's hydro launched, whatever the term is. It's when it gets above the water and it starts falling over. That's when the gyro kicks the motors in and it takes off.
That's pretty cool, but I'm scared about the plastic trigger. Thanks for coming in today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Come back and see me soon.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way. Mobile mayoral candidate Paul Prine joins us. Plus, we'll talk to you on the text and phone line next.